Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ready to get our hands a little dirty with some, well, paperwork this time.
Paperwork with real consequences, though.
You got that right. We're talking 18130-3 tags. Those little guys you find or should find on aircraft parts. See, we were digging through this Aviation Maintenance Magazine article and, well, it got us thinking.
It's more than just thinking, right? These tags are, they're kind of a big deal.
Huge. And apparently, not always as straightforward as they seem, so we figured, why not do a deep dive? For you listeners, but honestly for us too.
Always good to brush up.
Exactly. So we're going to try and untangle all this, figure out why these tags have become so important over the past 30 years. It's like the article said, imagine if 80 part could be swapped in and out, no real way to track where it came from, if it was even safe.
Oh, that sends shivers down my spine. Mm. That's exactly what these tags are supposed to prevent. It's all about trust in the system. You've got ESO over in Europe, FAA here, a whole web of agreements. They all rely on these tags.
Right, like a mini passport for every single part. Speaking of which, the article is pretty clear. These 8133s, they're mainly for new W parts. Brand new.
Yeah.
Straight from a manufacturer the FAA trusts.
It's that production approval that's key. It's not just that someone did maintenance and slapped a sticker on. It's like, think of it as a birth certificate saying, this part is good to go from day one.
Okay, that makes sense. But then, and this is where it gets interesting, they mention how sometimes even the FAA's own people, the DARs, they're issuing these tags when maybe they shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Right, because then you're trusting this tag, but what's it really telling you?
It's like a case of mistaken identity. It could be an honest mistake, could be something more. That's why we're digging into this.
Exactly. So listeners, buckle up, because we're about to go full-on aviation detective on this one.
It's a whole can of worms sometimes.
So spill it. Why is this happening?
Well, like the article said, market pressures. Everyone wants things done yesterday, parts included. Sometimes the right tag just isn't easy to get.
So we cut corners.
Not intentionally most times, but yeah, things happen. And that's why this article is so useful, honestly. It lays out, almost like a checklist, what can and cannot have an 8130.day3.
Inspector's red flag guide, we could call it.
Exactly. And top of the list, non-US stuff, easy to think, not made here, can't have the tag.
Makes sense. FAA's only got so much reach.
True, but it's not always that cut and dry. A part could be made in, say, France, but by a company following all the FAA rules.
Dual citizenship for airplane parts.
Ha, love it. That's the thing, gotta look closer. The article talks about specific markings, PMA numbers, that sort of thing. That's how you know if the FAA was actually involved.
So even with the tag, gotta verify.
Always. And it's not just the international stuff either. Standard parts, things you find anywhere, those usually shouldn't have an 80130-3.
Hold on. So if I see one on, like, a bolt from, I don't know, a hardware store.
Red flag. Huge red flag. Unless, and this is important, it's been specifically tested, approved, the whole nine yards for use in aircraft. Totally different ballgame then.
Okay, stricter standards. Got it.
And then there's the less savory stuff. Non-approved parts entirely. Military surplus, even stuff made in someone's back shed, theoretically.
Whoa, whoa, hold up. People are just whipping up airplane parts and slapping tags on them.
No, no, the article makes it clear that should never happen. Point is, it's all about traceability, following that part's life story. Factory to plane, every step accounted for. And that's where the red flags come in. Something seems fishy. Dig deeper.
It's like this article gives you X-ray vision or something. Suddenly, that little tag, it tells a whole story. It's a whole new perspective, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And probably a good reality check for anyone working with these tags.
100%. Can't just assume everything's hunky-dory.
So say I'm receiving a part, tag's there, looks official. What then?
Take a breath and check everything. Seriously, the article's right. That documentation is key.
Like, what am I looking for specifically?
Part number has got a match, manufacturer, all of it. And if something seems off, even a little, don't just shrug it off. Ask.
Better to be safe then.
Grounded. Exactly. Reach out to whoever issued the tag. Could be an honest mistake, could be something more, but you asking those questions, that's how we keep this whole industry safe.
Big picture stuff right there. Speaking of which, the article mentioned something about the future of these tags. Digital, maybe?
Wouldn't surprise me. Lots of industries are moving that way. Electronic records, instant verification, imagine that.
No more deciphering someone's handwriting from, like, 1982.
Huh. Right. Could streamline everything, make it more secure, too. No more lost tags, no forgeries.
So instead of a paper passport, it's like a digital fingerprint for every part.
There you go. And that's what's so interesting about aviation.
Yeah.
Always changing, always improving. Who knows what'll come next?
Well, I gotta say, listeners, next time I see one of these 8130-3 tags, I'm looking at it totally differently. It's not just a tag anymore, right?
Nope, it's a whole system. And understanding it, that's how we keep those planes in the air.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Big thanks to you, Expert Speaker's Name. Always a pleasure picking your brain.
Anytime. Happy to help clear the air, so to speak.
And all you listeners out there, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Fly safe, everyone.